the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, to finish out the last word tonight, we're joined by Ciarán Murphy. And you may remember last year he had a terrific book of This Is the Life, Days and Nights in the GAA. And of course, when you have an excellent book like that, which people love, then you're put under pressure to come up with a sequel. So what did he decide to do? The podcaster from Second Captains, Irish Times columnist, decided to take himself down to Waterford at the age of 42 and become a hurler and then write about it in the book Old Parish Notes on Hurling. Murph, yeah. You're very welcome to the programme.
Yeah, that sounds like a sane thing to do, all right, doesn't it? When you put it together like that, Matt, it's actually not that mental an idea at all.
Was it not?
No, it was obviously a crazy thing to do, Matt. What are you talking about? But it was so much fun. Genuinely, it was just an incredible experience, actually. And I took myself down to West Waterford because Old Parish is my dad's club on Shannafobel.
He had grown up there before moving to Galway. And of course, Galway is the centrepiece of your previous book, growing up with his love of the GAA, which was transmitted to you.
Yeah, exactly. So he had left Old Parish, I think, in 1967 for a decade in Dublin and then 40 years or 50 years now nearly in Milltown in County Galway, where I grew up. So, and that was where my mam was from originally. So I had this huge connection with my mother's family. They were all, you know, within a couple of miles of us growing up. And then my relationship with my father's side was obviously something a little different because we'd go down there for a week every year and we'd stay with my grandmother while she was alive until 2004. But it was obviously a different familial relationship. And then when, you know, my Nana died, you know, the compelling reason to go down once or twice a year was no longer there. And so you kind of drift away from an entire half of your family in a weird way. And so when the idea came for me that I wanted to play hurling, that I wanted to try and tap into and understand what exactly makes hurling the most unique, beautiful, thrilling sport in the world, there was kind of only one place that I wanted to do it in, which was in West Waterford. And the book, so the book is about obviously the sort of humiliations and privations that occur when a man who's never played hurling competitively before decides to take it up. But it's also kind of about me heading down to just an achingly beautiful part of the country. Genuinely, rural West Waterford is as beautiful as Ireland gets. Throw myself into the Waterford Gaeltacht as well.
And persuading your wife to do it too.
There wasn't a whole lot of persuading required. Now, so Jill is a secondary school teacher. So she was the 2nd June, the 1st came. There was a bit of up and down and I was down there while she was up here in Dublin working. But then once the 1st of June came, she was straight down. And I mean, like, we were down there all this summer as well. Like, we can't get enough of the place. It's genuinely...
Just wind back for me. And as you know, I loved your last book. And because it had this such great explanation and the sense of the importance of Gaelic games in your life, in your family, in the community where you live. But it was all about Gaelic football.
Mm.
And this is the strange thing, isn't it, about large parts of Ireland in that... You either play one or the other. You play Gaelic football or you play hurling. And the dual status at club level, let alone intercounty level, isn't always there. So did you have any real experience of playing hurling at all as a child, a teenager, as an adult?
None whatsoever. So
You must have had a hurley at home.
Yeah, so we would have had hurleys at home, but only because Dad was from Waterford. So we would have been the only house in Milltown probably that had hurleys. And if anyone out there is listening, you can correct me if you like. But we would have been the only family that would have been knocking around even in the backyard with hurleys. Later, kind of as I kind of went through college and moved up to Dublin, I lived beside the Phoenix Park for a while, a gang of mates, and we would have bought hurleys and went out, you know, maybe
for a puckabout.
Yeah, three or four times a year, maybe, you know, on a beautiful Saturday in the Phoenix Park. Bring whatever sporting equipment you have. Some days it would be a rugby ball. Other days it would be an American football. Other days it would be a hurley and a couple of slithers.
And it was non-contact stuff, I'd presume, as well, was
completely.
It?
I mean, I was a terrible, terrible hurler and by a distance the most talented amongst my friend cohort. So, so that was the extent of the experience that I had. Like poking the ball for my dog. Pickles. That's basically what I've... That is the level of experience that I had. But as COVID kind of came, there was a GAA pitch right beside me and I was walking the dog because I was working from home, recording from home and everything. So every day I'd be out taking the dog for a walk, a couple of slithers, Hurley. It would take a man of, you know, a fair amount of self-restraint to not aim the odd ball at the posts and close your eyes and imagine you were Joe Canning in the last minute.
How far could you
hit it? I mean, from 50 yards in, you know, okay. And then I started marching back a couple of yards, another couple of yards, and then you dislocate your shoulder and then you go back inside the 50-metre mark or whatever.
And are you doing all this from a standing still position?
This is the thing. So all of this, see, if you looked at it in a certain way, you'd say, yeah, I actually have all of the key skills here, you know? And then, of course, you're thrown into a game situation, and that's obviously an entirely different situation. But, of course, at that stage, I was already in. I'd already fooled myself that I could do it by knocking around, as you say, in a completely stationary position with no one watching except my dog. Genuinely, one man and his dog. That was my hurling career up until last summer. So,
at the age of 42, I mean...
Yeah.
It'd be one thing deciding you wanted to do it at the age of 22. And I think, wasn't it famously Ger Lochnan who said that if you haven't been playing before the age of 7, you can forget about it, give it up.
Yeah.
Which is probably a bit unfair.
But somewhere in between 7 and 42, I would say, is the sweet spot, you know, for you to take it up. Tending slightly towards the 7 end of the spectrum, I would say. So, yes, I mean, maybe it's unfair. But I'm not actually entirely sure that it's that unfair. And here is where the rubber met the road, you know, that the reality of playing a game like hurling, and this is Junior B level in Waterford. So on Channel Football only has, they have one team in football, one team in hurling. It's a very, very small club, very proud club.
So they were stuck for players, were they?
I would say, Matt, that my arrival in another dressing room would have been treated, you know, in a slightly different fashion. But when when numbers are a little tight at training, anybody, and I mean that, I mean, I have the receipts. Anybody is welcome. You kind of have to, you lean into it, you know, but the idea of it is really, hurling is so hard to pick up that you have to have the fundamentals. Like, the idea is, without the fundamentals, you can't do any of the other stuff. So hitting points from 50 yards out from a standing position is just not something that's ever going to happen in a game scenario. But of course, I realised that too late before the humiliations had begun.
Was it really humiliating or was it fun?
It was a lot of fun. It was an awful lot of fun. But at the same time, you know, so as you've painted the picture there, I've played football for a long number of years. I played it to a certain level.
You're also a big lad. I don't mean like heavy.
I'm a fine big lad, Matt.
You're a tall, young fella, right?
Yeah.
When I say young fella, to me at 42, you're a young fella, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So you ended up doing what I used to be used at when I played hurling as a child and as a teenager. The big lad who had very limited skills in around the goal mouth, make a nuisance of yourself as full forward.
Yeah, he's not a good lad, but he'd stop a good lad playing, Matt.
Yeah.
That was the dream. I mean, if I could have ascended to that level, that would have been brilliant. But yeah, so I mean, I was kind of thrown into full forward and let's see what he's got, you know, and there was the level of positive thinking was so high that I actually managed to play 3 or 4 league games before they decided that, you know. But again, it's weird because the league is at the start of the year, the
championship comes later.
Championship.
Did you
comes
get
later.
Championship action? Did you get championship minutes?
I got championship minutes. I came
no,
on.
It can't be too bad, so.
I came on with about 10 minutes to go in our first game and then came on again in the second game. And then for our third game, where I'd been promised minutes. I thought, I, you know, things had been shaping up a little better in training. I'd been promised minutes. I was feeling good, minding myself all week. And then fell foul of a back spasm, which is like the most 42-year-old injury you could possibly get, you know. So as I, like, there's about 2 minutes to go in the warm-up and, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. And all of a sudden, I'm needing to use my hurley as a crutch, not as a, you know, implement of sporting artistic expression. So, you know, a couple of things didn't go my way. But again, you know, you'll have to buy the book to find out whether there's a Rocky-style finish to all this.
Okay, but there are a couple of serious points in this as well, I suppose, I want to take up. You've written about hurling an enormous amount and on the Second Captain's podcast as well.
Yep.
You talk about it and you love it.
Yeah.
But now do you appreciate it more given that you've played it? And also, do you now look back on what you have written and said about hurling differently given that you've played it?
Yeah, I think that there's a deeper understanding of just the difficulty of it. You know, the genuine, the amount of work that's required to get you to the level of playing senior club hurling in any one of seven or eight counties. And what killed me was that I had to think about everything. So every movement I made on the pitch had to be thought out. Okay, so there's a ball coming in here. I got to get my feet right. I got to get my hurley out in front of me. Got to watch the ball, and then it's gone past me, you know? So no hurler is actually thinking like that at all. You know, they're thinking on a far higher plane because their fundamental skills are so good. And it goes back to the lot.
Well, it's instinctive.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So it's goes back to Loch Nan's line. Is that if you don't start before 7 or 10 or 11 or 12, you're having to think your way through games where the kids you're playing with have already just taken it in at a foundational level. So I never sat down to watch a hurling game and thought, you know, this isn't that difficult looking, you know. But now I just have this, I mean, before I played my second league game, the night before I was at Cork and Limerick in Portkeyev last year in the Munster round robin, the Patrick Horgan scored a penalty in the last minute. Cork won it by 2 points, 328 to 326. I mean, there hasn't been entertainment like it ever. It was just mind-blowingly good. And like sitting down to watch that, knowing even then what I knew on the back of maybe a month training, it just deepened my understanding of the whole thing, deepened my respect for the players. But I mean, that's at an incredibly high level. I mean, I could have gone to any of the preliminary quarterfinals in Kenny Park and Athenry yesterday, and I would have been blown away in the same way, because even club players, it has to be instinctual at that level. And so the big takeaway that I take from the whole experience of writing the book is that, as you referenced earlier, I grew up in a GA mad household in one of the maybe dozen counties in Ireland that take it really seriously, Galway. And even I didn't get a chance to play it as a kid. And it's not right, you know. It's not right. Like Gerald Burns said at Congress last year, the president of the GA said, the biggest opposition to the growth of hurling is Gaelic football and Gaelic football attitudes. We have to own up to it.
Well, I'll just give you a small example, personal example. And this is going back over 40 years ago when I went to school in the North Mon in Cork, which is a great hurling school.
Yeah.
But we weren't allowed to play football beyond what was then the intercert in our time. We'd had a Frewen Cup team, but we weren't allowed to go on to play senior because that would have interfered with the Hearty Cup team. And the school wasn't having that. The hurling came first.
Yeah, and it cuts both ways. Absolutely. Yeah. It really, really does. And, you know, the attitudes harden, absolutely. But, I mean, if you look at all of the major hurling counties, like they're all also playing football. You know, like Waterford might be the worst
Kilkenny?
Of them. Kilkenny obviously
they
is the obvious
been
one.
Football, but
yeah, but it's Kilkenny. The attitude towards football in Kilkenny is mirrored in maybe well over a dozen football counties in Ireland, and that's like that's not right. It's
one
not
final
right.
thing: can you now go up for a high ball and catch it without having the hand taken off you by the fullbacks hurling?
Well, I mean, I have learned that you should put the hurley out in front of the hand that you intend catching the ball with. And you know what? Pedagogically speaking, Matt, the only way to learn a lesson like that is for a man to swipe the fingers off you, which is exactly what happened to me. So, I mean, listen, there are many ways. Wisdom comes dropping slowly, Matt, you know?
Even to men in their 40s.
Yeah.
Excellent. The new book, it's brilliant. Old Parish, Notes on Hurling. Ciarán Murphy, thank you so much for being with us from the Second Captains podcast.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.